Hello, hello, testing, testing. Hello, hello, hello. Testing, testing. Hello, 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 testing, testing. Hello, hello, hello. Okay. It's 7:30. This is the Real End of Days Radio, and we are about to kick things off. So let's do this.
Winter's coming.
The king has returned from the broken ruins of Babylon. This is the end of days.
It's me. It is the D-A-N, the All-American Man, broadcasting to you from the beautiful and glistening and shimmering Pacific Northwest on the West Coast, planet Earth. I'm located in Seattle, Washington, also known as the Emerald City. And I am Daniel. What's going on, everybody? Did you like that intro? I hope you did. Or actually, I hope you hated it. What are you doing tonight? Are you pissed off like me because you promised to do a podcast every Saturday night at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time, and tonight the Seahawks are in their first playoff game? This sucks. I'm missing it. They were last winning when I checked, so go Hawks. Please pull this off. Let's keep this season going. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about football. I know that it is completely ridiculous to talk about football because you're pretty much talking about your team and it doesn't apply to anybody else. But still, everybody watches the Super Bowl. So go Hawks. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to win the whole thing. But I do know that the Seahawks, they're not the same team they were when they won the Super Bowl, obviously, but they're still good. And sometimes that's more exciting when it's not outright domination. Oh, what's going on, everybody? So much going on right now. It's just ridiculous. I guess I should start with this, even though I don't even really want to talk about it that much. You guys have seen that video, right? Of those four outstanding, intelligent individuals who decided to take a guy who has a learning disability, and they decided to kidnap him and torture him for 4 days. Not 4 days, 48 hours, 2 days. They were torturing him for 2 days, I'm sorry. They were humiliating him, cutting him with a knife. You guys have heard the story. I don't need to walk you through it. We're all angry enough, and that was a while ago, a few days ago. So everybody's probably sick of hearing it over and over. It's just so traumatic. But basically, what was happening here is that these people, they were mad because Donald Trump was elected, or they were using that as an excuse to hurt somebody. I'm not sure, but these were three or four African Americans. Two were male and two were female. Obviously, not the smartest crayons in the box, because what they did has not only got them charged with a hate crime, but they're going to be going away for a while. They probably could have completely gotten away with it if they hadn't put the whole thing on Facebook. Yeah, very good idea. And why anybody would defend them or say that it's not a hate crime, that's completely ridiculous. Of course it is. Of course it is. That is a terrible thing to do to anybody who is male, who is female, anybody at all. That you don't torture people. You don't hurt somebody that has a learning disability. This is somebody that has a weakness that is being targeted, and no one should ever target a weakness like that. How could you live with yourself after torturing a poor guy with a mental disability? That's insane. I just don't understand it at all. When I first heard this story, I was so angry. Like, I actually went into a little bit of a rage, and I was saying, oh my God, I can't believe this. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? What happened there is a perfect example of four people that do not have brains. They just don't have brains. They're complete uneducated idiots who think that it is okay to take pleasure from torturing another human being. And they're such cowards, they could not even find somebody that can defend themselves. That's how big of cowards. That's how weak they are. That shows how weak they are. Can you imagine if they try to do that to me? First thing I would do is I would take the first skinny prick and I would grab him by the arms, I would lift him over my head, and I would start slamming his face into a wall while his other friend tries to stop me. Then when I'm done slamming his face into the wall, I'd grab the other guy, throw him on top of the two dumb bitches, and then I would do a victory pose, and I would skate away on my skateboard. That's what I would do. And not only did that happen, but there was another attack because of Trump that happened recently as well. There was a homeless lady. She was doing nothing wrong. She was actually guarding Donald Trump's star on Hollywood Boulevard. You know, his star. Everybody has a star. A lot of people were threatening to vandalize it. A lot of people wanted to. A lot of people were threatening to. But she's homeless, and she decided to guard it. And not only that, but she was holding up signs about Hillary, about how great Trump is, stuff like that. Pretty funny, right? But unfortunately, there was a group of people, they didn't like what she was doing, so they kind of surrounded her, and they started like harassing her, and one guy actually pushes her off of her chair onto the ground, and the chair or something else hits this lady in the face, and they're all standing around her. I'm sure you guys have all seen the video. I don't know why I'm even walking you through it. But they're all standing over her and yelling at her and actually saying, don't call an ambulance. And one guy is saying, oh, this is what you get. This is what you get for spreading hate. I think what it was is the lady had a sign that said that Hillary Clinton was in a relationship with Huma Abedin, or whatever her name is, however you pronounce her name. So these people got mad and they kind of beat her up. Can you believe that, though? I mean, since when was it okay to attack people that have a different way of thinking than you? This is supposed to be America. Why is it okay to use fear, humiliation, violence against people that don't agree with you? Basically, you're saying that might equals right, and you can't win an argument. You cannot go about things in an intelligent fashion, and the only thing that you can do is act like an animal, bash people over the head, and yell in their face, and intimidate them, and spread fear. How does that prove your point? How does that prove that you're right? That proves that you're not right. And by the way, this homeless lady that was guarding Donald Trump's star was an African American. Yeah, go figure. I saw another video of an African-American man on a subway, an old man, right? And he's wearing a Trump shirt. And this band of five African-American kids, they start harassing him, and one of them actually knocks him out. Yeah, he knocks out an old man, a guy that's in his 60s or 70s. The guy that hit him was like 18 to 25. He actually punched him in the face, and they filmed it, and they're laughing at him, an old man. I just cannot believe that. Like, okay, so you're an African-American, I'm an African-American, so I need to hurt you to scare any other African-Americans from joining the other side. Yeah, that's really intelligent. That's really the way you go about things. And, you know, shout out to all the African-American people that are Trump supporters. Big shout out to them, because you got balls. You got heart and you got balls, because you are going against the grain. And you are bringing violence upon yourself, and you are doing it anyway. So shout out to you guys. You guys are warriors, and nothing but respect for people that have balls like that. Because I don't. Admittedly, I don't. If I was in their position, I wouldn't be putting myself through that. I'm not going to go and, you know, walk through the ghetto wearing an All Lives Matter shirt or anything like that. You guys have seen that video? No. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry. I'm tired of people calling Donald Trump racist. I just don't think that he is. He might say some things that are not politically correct. He might say some things that are, you know, very opposed to what many people think. But I don't see the guy having a racist bone in his body. I just don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the people accusing him are right. But I don't think that's what it is. I think it's just a bunch of propaganda. It's a bunch of brainwashing. And it's a bunch of peer pressure. That's what it looks like to me. But, you know, if you aren't a Trump supporter, if you don't like him, I've heard some great arguments for why a person shouldn't like Donald Trump. They make sense, but I like him. I think he's a good guy. I think that he's doing a good thing. And I'm kind of worried about him, because at this rate, with these attacks going on, the way that these liberal types have been brainwashed and worked into a hysteria, at this point, I'm just like, how is he even going to make it 10 minutes without being shot or killed by one of these crazy brainwashed people that thinks that Trump is racist and he hates women and this and that? Ugh. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I hope that things work out. A lot of people thought that Obama was going to get assassinated. They thought that something bad would happen to him. But it never really happened. I don't think that there was one attempt. There wasn't even one. People, for the most part, liked him. I didn't see any conflict. I mean, you had your few racist people, you know, your white supremacists saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I just don't think that there's enough of them for something like that to happen. I don't. I think that the amount of white supremacists, racist, KKK people that are walking around out there is very small. I'm not saying that they're not there. Obviously, there is a contingency like that, but not big enough that people are going to do rioting and stuff like that. There just aren't enough of them. But there are so many minorities out there, and they might not have access to a lot of information because they don't even know that there's an Illuminati. They don't even know that there's a worldwide conspiracy. They just listen to mainstream media. And if mainstream media tells them that, hey, Trump is racist, next thing you know, they want to kill him. Stop, people. I'm pleading with you. Stop. Stop being violent because you think Trump is racist. That's not going to make a difference. You're just going to cause more violence. You're going to cause more racial tension, and you're just going to make it worse and worse. Charles Manson was supposedly trying to start a race war. He wanted to kill a bunch of people, or have his insane followers kill a bunch of people. The idea was they would blame it on a group of Black Panthers, and the plan was to actually, you know, incite that type of violence. It's not that hard because there's already so much tension. There's already so much tension in this country. We're looking at this country's been around, what, 200, 300 years, something like that. And it has a history of racial oppression, as a history of slavery, as a history of extreme racism against all races, Chinese, Irish. There was a lot of Irish slaves back when there was slavery. White slaves from Ireland. Yeah, it's real. Look it up. It's real. The Chinese, the way that they're exploited to build the railroads. The list goes on and on. And that's why we are where we're at now. Because of all this, all these downtrodden individuals and races. And that has all led us to where we're at now, where there's tons of tension and a lot of bigotry and a lot of ignorance. And it's terrible. It's like you can't even sit down with a group of people and just talk, because people are thinking, oh, I'm not going to talk to that white boy. You know what I'm talking about. It's terrible. And what's going on now is just making it worse. So I suppose my main message with this is to just tell people that don't get caught up in that, even if you feel triggered. If you see, for example, let's say I'm seeing this video of these four black kids and they're beating up on this retarded guy. I mean, that could drive somebody into rage. That stuff could make people racist. You can't drop down to that level. You can't let it do that to you. That's like the number one important thing, is to not get racially triggered. Because once that happens, we open up ourselves to all types of manipulation. And trust me, Big Brother, the Illuminati, and the powers that be, it is exactly what they want. They want to play the races against each other for control. That's the way that it has always been. That is the way that it will be for the foreseeable future. And I don't even know why I feel like talking about this tonight. It just, I saw those videos and it just really made me angry. And you know, I had people getting on me for being a Trump supporter. Saying, Daniel, how could you support a guy like this? What are you doing? And I would tell them, I said, look, I don't know what you're talking about. I've seen all the same stuff as you. I don't understand. I don't understand why you attack Trump. I don't understand why you say these things about him. I don't understand why he is such a horrible person. I'm waiting for one person to show me anything to convince me that Donald Trump is a bad man. Does he have a temper? Is he loose with his mouth? Yeah, of course. That doesn't make him a terrible person. It doesn't make him a bad leader. But anyways, let's get off of this topic. Because I know I worked all the liberals into a frenzy. And now they're gathering their pitchforks and getting ready to come after me. Okay, what should we talk about next? I did want to talk about those attacks. Okay, I did want to talk about, let's see. Well, okay, I saw an interesting thing that somebody put on the internet the other day. They were talking about George Norrie. Apparently, George Norrie has a little bit of a reputation for being a ladies' man. It's something that people noticed. Like, he seems like he's very smooth. He always kind of changes his tone when women call into Coast to Coast. He kind of drops down and starts to talk all sexy. You know what I'm talking about. Pretty funny, right? But I kind of wanted to comment on this because I see what's going on with Coast lately. And there's this thing called ParanormalDate.com. And we've talked about this on the show before, back when it used to be a two-man crew. We used to talk about Paranormal Date, but you know, because of what was going on, it was really hard for me to really talk about this that much or anything. Because at any time I try to talk about anything for any period of time, it just wasn't okay. But I think that Paranormal Date thing is so stupid. I mean, really. I tried to do that online dating thing way back in the day, before there was even Facebook or MySpace or anything like that. I was into it just like any other person that age would do things like that. You know, you go on AOL and you get in the chats, and of course you're going to start thinking, oh, I want to talk to some girls or talk to some women, right? But what I quickly realized is people take pictures from good angles with good lighting, and everybody seems to know what that perfect right angle is, you know, to make themselves look good. And oftentimes, the people would not look anything like the picture that they gave. Like, they would be 10, 15 years older, 100 pounds heavier, cross-eyed. You get the idea. There would be a mix of all kinds of sorts of looks and its personality types. But one thing I quickly realized was, one, there were always way more men doing that than women, which made things hard. And, you know, the women would kind of have an attitude like, oh, I can have anyone. And of course they would, when there's 100 times more guys than women on there. So that's the first thing, way more men than women. And why that is, I can only guess that it's because women are afraid of getting stalkers or getting men that are obsessed with them or creepy or perverts or, you know, want to abduct them, things like that. So you don't have as many women on there. So that creates an imbalance, and that makes it shitty from the start. So why would you want to involve yourself in any sort of online dating for that reason alone? If you're a guy, you're going to have to compete with 1,000 other guys for one woman. And if you're a woman, you're going to end up with a guy that wants to tie you to the bedpost and feed you Jell-O or worse, who knows? But the worst thing that you can do is get really into that online dating. And some people seem to be really addicted to it. Like, you see, when I did get into, I briefly got into it, not back when I was a kid, but later on, like my early 20s, I found a site called plentyoffish.com, and it actually was free, so that was the main motivation. And the same thing, way more guys on there than women, to the point where it's like, why even do this? I don't think that, this is my number two point, so this is number two. I don't think that any women really find it very romantic to be picked up online, because it just makes you feel desperate. Like, oh, I had to put this personal ad up here. I had to do this or that. So you get a lot of people that are just kind of desperate. They're really lonely. And, you know, you oftentimes, if you get into that, you'll just meet somebody that is a serial dater, and they just date all the time, and it's more important to have that initial feeling of excitement of meeting somebody new than actually getting into a long-term relationship with somebody that matches your qualities. Now, take these things that I talked about, and apply it to the world of the paranormal, where you're already going to probably have more guys than women, or maybe not, what do I know? But you're taking like a situation where there's always going to be more guys doing the online dating than the females, and you're taking it into the paranormal realm. I'm willing to bet there are like zero women on paranormaldate.com, and they're trying to get people to join that and actually sign up and pay money for it. So I think that is just a waste of time. Don't sign up for paranormaldate.com. Don't do that. Just, you know, learn to talk to people. Learn to talk to women at the grocery store, at church, wherever, whatever you're into. If you're not into something, get into stuff. Excuse me. Like, when I started taking martial arts and doing jiu-jitsu and kickboxing and stuff like that, right away, I just met so many women. And you can meet women at work, or guys if you are female. You can meet them at work, or just the grocery store mall, because at least they're there, they're in front of you, and you can kind of know that they're not too strange or anything. And it's more exciting because, hey, you're meeting somebody on spontaneously, and this guy or this woman actually had the balls to come up and talk to me because they liked me so much. So that it's more romantic. And then you're also making yourself stronger because you're getting outside of your comfort zone and you are overcoming whatever anxieties you have, and you are making a connection as opposed to sitting behind a computer screen and just making yourself worse because you are unable to, you know, you're unable to really do anything. You're unable to do the simplest thing, as in talk to an opposite member of the species, opposite sex member of the species. I hope I'm making sense. I've done plenty of online dating. It just never really worked out. The people that I'm still friends with nowadays, they're people I met through other means. So I'm not saying that it never works, because I do have some cousins that hooked up on Facebook and they seem to be happy and it seems to work. So maybe it's me. Maybe it just doesn't work for me. I don't know, but I have seen it work okay for some people and work pretty good. But perhaps going in, these folks had a different expectation. Perhaps they handled it differently, and it wasn't something so, you know, based on looks and appearance. Maybe it was different. I know some people actually meet playing video games and things like that, which is fine. I've heard of couples meeting playing World of Warcraft and stuff like that. But just some advice out there for all the young fellas out there that are frustrated. Don't try to deal with that frustration by going online and trying to do things that way. You're just going to make yourself worse. Just work on yourself. Get some hobbies. Like, if you're overweight, start a daily exercise regimen. And even more important, start dieting. Make sure you count up your calories. Eat high energy foods and you will shed all kinds of pounds. And that's going to give you points right there. Once you shed some weight, that'll give you immediate points. Then you're going to want to work on your overall look. Like, whatever your hair looks like, just do something with it where it looks the best. Like, try different things and go with the best one. Make sure you're clean cut, you're shaven, you're showered, your nose hairs are trimmed, things like that. Make sure you don't have like a fuzzy unibrow. Don't wear baggy clothes. A lot of these young guys, oh, this is such a big problem. They walk around with pants around their ankles, with big baggy shirts. You can't see a person's figure. You don't have that sexual element. You can't attract women doing that. I'm not saying you want to like show them your ass or anything like that, but you want them to be able to see the shape of your form, like your body. It's not that you're not trying to show off for other guys or anything like that. You're just wearing clothes that fit. And this says, hey, I'm a mature man. I'm grown up. I wear clothes that fit me. This is what my body looks like. I'm not hiding drugs or guns or anything like that. And you'll get more points from doing that. There were things that match too. Don't wear ugly mismatched stuff. Don't wear like sweatpants and a sweat jacket when you go to Walmart like I do. Just wear some like khaki. Wear khakis. They're cheap. Khakis are cheap and they look great. I mean, sometimes they look bad if you don't iron them, but wear khakis. Go down to Fred Meyer or Walmart. Buy yourself like 3 pairs of khakis. Get some plain t-shirts. Don't wear like super goofy t-shirt. Well, you can do that. Sometimes that gets you attention. That's fine. I'm not going to say that. But just get some clean clothes that actually fit you. Make sure that you're clean cut. Make sure that you're clean. If you have a voice that isn't the best, just try to speak clearly and work on your projection. And that should be enough. And don't try to show off money. That's bad to you. Don't open up your wallet with a bunch of dollar bills in it or anything like that. If you have money, it'll be obvious. If you're successful, it'll be obvious. You don't have to try to show anything. Don't try to show anything. Just be yourself. Have confidence in all of these points that you have. Have confidence in what you're doing and just be yourself. Don't try to come off like, oh, I'm an alpha male or, oh, I'm rich or anything like that. That'll kill it right away. So don't do that. And just be yourself. Ask questions. And there you go. It's that simple. You don't gotta go on paranormal date and pay money every month to have no luck and just end up hating yourself. So instead of advertising some goofy thing like Paranormal Day. I'd rather give some young people some good advice if you're into the show. But let's move on, because I'm willing to bet nobody gives a crap about any of this. Okay, let's see. Talked about the attacks, talked about Trump. Now, one thing that I've been kind of thinking to myself about is, what do I really want to do? Because I have a career, I have a job, and it's fine. I like doing it. I do okay. But, you know, it's a job. Working for a corporation or working for a... You know what? I'm gonna call this to a halt and take a quick commercial break, only because I want to see if the guest tonight is ready. He said he's going to show up, and he's still not online. And he actually, this is the guy that was supposed to be on 2 weeks ago, and he sent me an apology and asked if we could rebook. And I said, okay, you know, let's try to do it again. So hopefully he will join us tonight. But he hasn't answered me on Skype, so you know how that goes. Maybe he's getting the cold feet again, which is fine. You know what? If he keeps getting cold feet, I'm not going to bash him for it or anything like that. He's just, you know, he doesn't want to come on. He changed his mind. There's no point in getting angry about that. But I do still want to take a break, because I'm going to give him a call. And I just want to see if we can talk to him. And if not, I will have another plan, because I have a plan. And I'm the man with the plan. And I'm Dan. So let's take a little break. Oh, man, I love that song. That's like one of my favorite Jedi mind trick songs. It is called Razor Blade Salvation. So I have word, or I have no word, I should say. Unfortunately, for the second time, this particular guest has decided to not join me this evening. Not sure exactly what the problem is. This was the guy that was supposed to be on 2 weeks ago. Like I said, he did not show up. He sent me an apology. He had a pretty good excuse. So I decided to rebook him, which was obviously a mistake, because here we are again, and I gave him a whole slot to come on the show, and to, you know, this is time that could have went to somebody else. So once again, that is very unfortunate, and I do apologize to you guys. We are once again without a guest, but I kind of sort of knew that this might happen, so it's not really a big deal. What I'm going to do is just go with my plan and just talk about stuff and open up the phone lines, because that's really the best thing to do. So if anybody wants to call in, you can call in at, where's my number? You can call in at 209-348-9810, or that's NinjaShoes777 on Skype. That's 209-348-9810. If you'd like to talk about anything, if you want to talk about Donald Trump getting assassinated, or some of the violence that's been going on, or if you want to talk about anything else, that's fine. The thing with guests is, you know, it does bug me. I know a lot of you have probably heard me get kind of mad on here when this happens, because I really believe in what I'm doing here. Like, the last show that we did was with Ralph Ellis, and we really went into history. We really went into the true history of the Hyksos people, the Hebrew people, Jesus, King Jesus, we found out. He was actually a king. And I'm so proud of that show, because I feel like I actually hit a stride. Like, I hit a high mark. Did something that I hadn't done before. It created an interview that, well, you know, worked with Ralph Ellis to create an interview that was that was classic. Let's put it that way, classic. I did miss the first 15 minutes because I got caught up in something and forgot to hit record, so I kind of screwed it up. Some people have been disliking on YouTube because of that. I probably deserve it because that was unprofessional of me to not hit record. But we still got 2 hours of insanely good content. We went right back into the past. We got everything all pieced together. I feel so much smarter and better educated about matters ever since that interview. And I've taken that knowledge and integrated it. And I'm so proud of that episode because that is what it's supposed to be. This show is not supposed to be lame ongoing drama or fart jokes. We could have the fart jokes. That's fine. But you know what I mean? It's not supposed to be about a bunch of nonsense. It's supposed to be about getting some good knowledge out there and educating people, not making them stupider, which is something I fear sometimes, like, am I getting on the mic and making people dumber? Does the sound of my voice lower your IQ? I'm just kidding. But yeah, I'm proud of that episode. I have a good feeling about it still. And I'm just hoping that this is the beginning of some real momentum. This is the beginning of a lot of good episodes. Monday, we've got Robert Stanley coming on here. And he's a good guest. I've heard him on several programs. He's going to come in here and he's going to educate us on some very interesting topics. It's going to be a good one. But I do like where things are going. That episode with Ralph Ellis, it was positive. It was professional. I'm still working on some things. You know, sometimes I can jump in there a little quick because I'm so used to having to force my way in. I did blow my nose at one point during the interview. At the beginning, it goes, honk! I re-listened to it. I'm like, oh, did I really do that? I think I hit my mute button on Skype, but I didn't do it on my machine right here. So it didn't mute me. So I'm blowing my nose at the beginning. But I'm proud of it. That first interview with Connie Willis, I'm proud of that. But I keep getting better and better, and that's what I want to do. I'm finally getting the practice that I always needed, which is kind of the point I'm trying to make here. I was not getting the practice that I needed, and now I am, so it feels absolutely fantastic. And for those of you that aren't aware, there was a podcast that I went on last night. I'm sure that some of you are aware of this, but I went on a podcast by a fellow named Chefist, and he's a cool guy. He's part of Belgab, and he used to come on our show all the time. Excuse me. He's kind of a, I don't know if he's, I can't remember if he's Southern, but he's a good host. I was really impressed with the job that he was doing, and he just brought me on to talk about some of the drama that's been going on around the show and stuff like that. And my old co-host actually ended up calling in, and we kind of went at it in a semi-moderated fashion. And I went on to, you know, explain my side of the story, and he went on to explain his side of the story. And I thought it really turned out well in terms of, you know, generating some interest. It's negative interest, but it generated some interest, and I was able to speak my point of view and give my side of the story in kind of a moderated, unbiased fashion. So I just want to give a shout out to Chefist and his show Martinez tonight. I wanted to just say thanks for letting me come on there and letting me express myself and give my side of the story. I feel I went very well. I feel I did very well. I feel like my arguments were solid, and I feel like I won completely. It was just a overwhelming victory on my part. I came prepared. I feel I said the right things and got my point across that this is my show. I created End of Days Radio. It is my vision, and I won't ever let anybody steal it from me. That's the main point. I'm a warrior, and I'm never going to give up this show. I'm never going to give up my vision. I will never give up my creation, because that would make me feel absolutely horrible to do that. I have a mission here. I have been tasked with something greater than myself. I have been tasked with this mission in life to do this. I'm not going to let it get destroyed by any greedy, big-headed individuals out there who, you know, that don't have good careers or don't have anything going in their lives. So they just want to take things, and they don't understand that in life you have to work for things. You can't just have things handed to you by your mommy or your daddy or your other mommy, if you get what I'm saying. Most of you aren't going to get that joke. But it was just something that kind of had to be done because I got to defend myself. I got to defend my show. This is something that I dreamed up. Nobody has a right to take it from me. And I can be too nice sometimes. Like, when the show was going on before, I was being way too nice. I was being a pushover, and I didn't want to admit it to myself because who wants to admit that? But it's true. I was being a complete pushover. I was being too nice. I was making too much of an effort to make sure that my friend was, you know, comfortable with what was going on to the point where I wasn't comfortable with it. So I need to change. And I think I am changing. I feel like I'm changing. I feel like I'm figuring things out a little bit more. I have a ways to go. I have things to work on. There's things that I'm strong in, things that I'm weak in. We're all like this. We all have our strengths. We have our weaknesses. And regardless of your age, there's always things that we need to work on. And I do want to get better on air. I do want this show to be better. I want it to be the best show, not only in the podcast world, but I want it to be the best in multimedia, in entertainment, period. That's how high my goals actually are. And part of that reason is I feel like there's something missing, because we have people like Alex Jones. We have people like, the other ones. I'm not going to name off all these alternative media outlets, but the problem is that a lot of them are fake. Alex Jones, that whole thing is fake. It's a multimedia psyop. It's a disinformation campaign. It is completely phony. Alex Jones is fake. When you go on YouTube, when you go to the websites, when you watch those videos, I'm not saying the information is fake. The stuff that he's putting out there is real, but him saying he's a John Connor or he's a freedom fighter or he's part of a resistance or that he's really trying to defend our Constitution or defend American ideals, that's all BS. He's none of those things. He's just trying to get people to gather in a particular spot so that names can be taken down and information can be collected. I'm not trying to freak you guys out, but it's true. It's a experiment and it's monitoring. That's what it is. And it's also used to sway public opinion too, if need be. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, it's exactly for this or that, because the truth is I don't have the information. Nobody does. There's nobody online that I can see that seems to know exactly who Alex Jones is or what he's about or what he's doing. And I know I've talked about this before, but the challenge still stands. It remains. Alex Jones, if you are what you say that you are, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of your handlers. I'm not afraid of the people that back you. I'm not afraid of little boys and their mothers that have a problem with me. I'm not afraid of Alex Jones. I'm not afraid of any of the parties that back him. I'm not afraid of any of the organizations or even countries that back him. So Alex Jones, if you have a problem with what I'm saying, then you need to confront me and you need to prove to me that you are what you really are. But I know that you can't do that. At best, you'll just come on here or I'll go on there and you'll yell in my face and you'll try to be funny and you'll act like the salesman that you are and the actor that you are. And that's it. If you did, I know that I am nothing but an insignificant little gnat compared to your big ego empire of the prison planet and InfoWars with your female news anchors shaking their boobies around to get people to watch. I know that you think that I'm nothing compared to all that. And maybe you're right. Maybe I don't have anywhere close to the reach that you do. Maybe there's something to be said for that. But I don't care. I still challenge you, Alex Jones. I challenge you to prove to me, to prove to Daniel from End of Days Radio, that you are what you say that you are. Or even confront me. Otherwise, you are what I say you are. You're a PSYOP. You're a COINTELPRO. You're a disinformation campaign. You've been brainwashed by some sort of MKUltra program. I'm not saying you're Bill Hicks. You look like him. But nevertheless, you are a victim of brainwashing. You are an actor. You probably either get paid to do all that or somehow the money comes through the sponsorship. I'm not saying it doesn't generate an income. But I'm saying you've been tasked to do what you're doing. And the reason is probably just to experiment and collect information on people. Because once you sign up for the InfoWars or they see you looking at this or that, they kind of know who to watch. And they're not going to do anything with it because we're not there yet. They don't have that much control. We still have rights. We still have our freedom. We still have our independence. But those things are, they're trying to take those things away from us day by day. Minute by minute, they are trying to take those things away. And there's people fighting it. There's plenty of people out there fighting it, but there's not enough. Too many people are getting brainwashed by the media. Too many people are not bothering to open up their minds to accept this information. Like I just made a thread on a forum as an experiment. And I asked, what do you guys believe in? Do you believe the world is controlled by Illuminati? Do you believe in this and that? And pretty much everybody was telling me no. That's scary to me because this is very real. I'm 100% convinced. There's not a shadow of doubt in my mind. I've seen too much. I've seen way too much. And I know what's going on. And if this new show, if it does not appeal to the people that listened to this show before, I don't care. I don't really care because it's not the same show. It isn't. It is the same show. It still has Daniel on it, but we're getting hardcore. We're going this. I'm calling this show the Black Ship. You might notice there's a new logo, a new design. You might notice that things have changed a little bit around the website. That's because I'm piloting the Black Ship now. I'm the ship's captain, and I'm going to take this ship into the realms of madness and mystery, into the realms of the unexplained. Far further than we have ever journeyed. And part of the reason why, like I said, nobody out there is really pushing things that far. You don't see an alternative form of media that people can really get behind and trust. And if you don't want to trust me, that's fine. Because I know that I am handsome and a smooth talker. And you probably think that I've been tasked to give you this information. I'm just kidding. I don't think that about myself. But you know what I mean. People will accuse you of being some kind of disinfo agent. They'll accuse you of being some kind of this or that. I'm not. I can prove who I am. I went to high school here locally in Seattle. I grew up here. I can prove all of these things to anybody that wants to know. Alex Jones, can you do the same thing? Can you show me who you are? Can you lay it all out for me and prove to me who you are? Alex Jones, this challenge remains. If you do not accept this challenge, you not only confirm that I am right, but you show me that you are a coward. You are a coward. You claim to stand up for this or that, but you can't even join one man on one podcast just to tell him that you are indeed real. And it doesn't even have to be on the show. You don't want to come on air and you don't want to put over my show. Fine. Because I know you think it's about that. I know that's what you think. If that's the case, then we'll do it privately. I challenge you. Open challenge. I hope it gets to him. No, I'm not trying to generate hype or anything like that. I'm trying to shine a spotlight on this fraud who has been tricking people for years and years. A guy who has been tricking and manipulating the truth movement for years and years. And he needs to be exposed as the fraud that he is. And big shout out to all the people out there, all the YouTubers, all the real freedom fighters that are making an effort to expose this man, to expose this Alex Jones and his fake rebelliousness, his fake resistance. He's nothing but a shill. He's a puppet. But enough about him. Enough about him. What else do we have to talk about? Talked about that. Okay, I want to talk about something a little weird. I'm not going to go I'm not going to go super into this, but I feel that it's important, and I know a lot of people are going to think I'm completely batshit crazy after I talk about this. I know that I may lose supporters. I know that I may lose fans. It may hurt my reputation, but I don't care. I don't care. I don't give a damn. Because I have already gone to the brink of madness, and I came back. And since I've already been there, I can't be hurt in the same ways that I could be hurt before. I'm not saying I'm invincible. I'm not invulnerable. But you're not going to hurt me by posting text messages that I made to you or something like that. Give me a break. You know what I'm talking about. I've seen some shit. I've been through some shit. Things don't faze me that much. But I do want to talk about this. And I apologize if it sounds completely loony. But I believe that we are all under some type of hypnosis. I believe we are all under hypnosis. And how it works and where it starts, where it stops, I can't answer that question. But what I do know is that hypnotism is real. I do know that it is real and that you can hypnotize people to, for example, not see a person that is in the room when they actually are. I've seen it done before. You can take a person and influence them to not be able to see somebody that's in the room. Once I realized that, I started to have all kinds of thoughts because I've heard so many accounts of there being cloaked UFOs in our sky, of there being things such as reptilian shapeshifters or android type beings that are robotic, yet they house the consciousness of some entity. Or perhaps there are also aliens using holographic technology to cloak themselves and doing things of that nature. But what I have come to realize is there is a hypnotism that is in effect on all of us that trains us to not see things that are paranormal and to not see things that are supernatural that are right in front of our faces. So, for example, you could be walking around and some kind of weird creature could run right past you and you would not see it and nobody would. If you're with friends, they wouldn't see it either. Nobody would see it. It would just run past and it would get away with whatever it's doing and you would not be able to see it. Because we have been indoctrinated over time to believe that these things do not exist. And therefore, we have been indoctrinated somehow. You know, I'm not saying I totally understand how it works. We have been indoctrinated in a way that we cannot see things that are right in front of our faces. A lot of times, okay, check this out. How many times have you talked to somebody that is talking about a paranormal experience and they only bring it up because something jogged their memory? Like, you think they would have told you about it when you first met them, but they almost seem to have trouble remembering that it even happened at all. That's because when something paranormal happens, because there's so much peer pressure, because we don't want to be looked at like we're on drugs or we're crazy or making stuff up. No one wants to be a liar. No one wants to be accused of believing in ridiculous things. We will actually force ourselves to forget that it even happened. We'll explain it away. We'll say, oh, it was swamp gas, or oh, it was this, or it was that. Yeah, that's what happens. I mean, I do it. I forget. I have forgotten many paranormal things that have happened to me, partly because so many of them have happened, and partly because the next day I got to go to work and I have to be a normal person. What am I going to do? Just start ranting and raving like a lunatic that there's a whole world of paranormal magic and mystery out there? There is, but I'm not going to talk about it in the workplace because everybody's going to think I'm a weirdo. It's just not something that you go around talking about. So I would not, if I was you, I wouldn't, you know, be too open about this stuff. I want you guys to make an effort to wake up mankind, but not embarrass yourself or not
you know, everybody, I don't want people in your workplace to think you're odd or do anything that would cause you to not fit in, because that's something that you need to do in the workplace. You need to fit in because that's how you get your promotion. That's how you get along with your coworkers and stuff like that. So, you know, you don't have to bring this stuff into there. But I do maintain that there is a hypnotism over our race to not be able to see something that is right in front of us. And I do believe that somehow this hypnotism, this mass hypnotism, is probably tied to a race of beings. You can call them the Watchers of Mankind. You can call them Big Brother to humanity. Perhaps they're our creators. Perhaps they helped speed along our evolution. They may have given us technology. Who knows? And there's probably more than one group. But I suspect there's probably a main one. A lot of times people will say, oh, that's the reptilians. It seems like everybody wants to blame the reptilians for everything nowadays. And maybe it is. But whatever is happening, it goes all the way back, all the way back, all the way back into ancient history, into the time of the gods, into the time when the gods walked amongst man, when these beings, whatever they were, they didn't hide so much. They kind of interacted with mankind openly. And sure, maybe it's all mythology. Maybe it's all made up. Who knows? I don't think so. I really believe there was a time on this earth when there were gods. There were gods, and they would do whatever they could to get humans to worship them. And oftentimes, entire wars would be fought by different gods or different groups that had allegiance to these gods. Just go into the work of Zechariah Sitchin, Eric Van Daniken. There's so many ancient aliens authors at this point, but I always tend to go back to Sitchin because he was like the guy that blew all this open. I highly recommend reading those books. I mean, don't believe everything that you read, of course, but to get that perspective, I highly recommend reading those books. I suppose where I differ from Sitchin is that I don't necessarily believe that these beings were nuts and bolts aliens. I'm not so sure they were giants walking around or that they were physical. I believe that they might be interdimensional. They might have gotten here through portals or through some other means, maybe using the powers of their own mind. Who knows? There's so many possibilities. Oh, looks like we got a call. Hello?
Greetings and salutations, Daniel.
Greetings and salutations. Who is this?
Ooh, Al.
Hey, Al.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little annoyed because I did have a guest scheduled, and this is the second time that this particular guest has kind of crapped out, but it's okay. I mean, this is End of Days Radio. We will always be here every Saturday night, so we're just going to keep it moving. And if we don't have a guest, we're just going to talk about things that need to be talked about.
Things get started, right?
Yeah, exactly. Have you been listening at all?
Yeah.
What do you think?
What I called you talking about? So-called God. Jimmy God. Look at it this way. Say you just end up being able to travel to another star system. You find a primitive race that was, I'm going to say, us, let's say 4,000 years ago.
Okay.
And if you showed up, then people would think you're a god, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, especially with my looks.
No, it's just like, let's say 100 years ago. Your cell phone and this computer you're using and all this would be considered witchcraft.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Well, let's say 200 years ago. 100 years ago, we were starting to get a little technologically savvy. You know what I'm saying? You know, 300 years ago, your cell phone would be considered witchcraft. Your television set would be considered witchcraft. The radio with your sister in your car, even your car would be considered witchcraft.
Oh, yeah. I would do it, too. I would say, I would go back and I'd say, I have Twitter. I am a god. Worship me.
You know what's funny about frickin' witches, though, don't you?
Did you say witches?
any self-respecting witch of the 21st century don't ride no frickin' vacuum. They ride a frickin' vacuum cleaner.
Oh, they don't ride a broom. They ride a vacuum cleaner?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So 18th century and then 19th century and then 20th century, you ride a vacuum cleaner, and now you'd ride a shark vacuum.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Or BMW. I've seen a lot of witches driving around BMWs.
I'm talking about a vacuum cleaner brand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, 21st century witch wouldn't be caught dead in a fucking broom or a fucking Kirby or a Hoover. You gotta be on a Dyson now.
Yeah, I know some witches. Most of them are overweight, and most of them are actually lesbians.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, you know, if they were true witches and had a real cover and all that shit, they'd like have 13 of them. They'd all get naked together all the time. But there'd be one male, all females, and one male covering up.
Oh, that sounds like a good time. You're telling me that in these witch ceremonies, there'd be like 8 females and one guy in the middle?
No, 12 females and one guy.
That's even better. Shit.
Well, it ain't like you're having sex with all of them. You're just all naked together.
Oh, they're not touching you, or they're at least gyrating around, right?
Yeah, they're all doing it together.
Well, that's not so bad. That's...
They're like, if you got all females, then either all females with one guy or all males with one female.
Why is that done? What is that? Does that symbolize something? Does that have some sort of power? I'm not sure I understand why that happens.
It's just a grounding.
It's a grounding.
Yeah, like if you got all... that's hard to explain. No, that's not right. The one that's opposite everybody else to the ground.
Oh, so somehow the energy from the 12 females... There's so much of it, it goes into the male, and he somehow uses it for a spell. Is that, do I have that?
Yeah, when they're doing a spell, whatever, like if it's a male, then he's the ground. If it's all males or the female, then she's the ground.
Oh, okay.
You know, to complete a circuit, you have to have a ground, right?
Yeah, you really know about this stuff, Al.
Yeah.
I take it you've actually experienced some of this ritual magic.
There's a good one for you. One day I got a phone call. It said no number. I started listening to it. Actually, it was a voicemail. I had to go to voicemail because I don't recognize the number. I had to go to voicemail. When I listened to the voicemail, it sounded like somebody was digging up a grave. Like the phone was sitting on the ground. I could hear shovels going in dirt. And then I could hear it hitting the box. Like they were digging a grave. That's the impression I got from it, man.
That's creepy. Is that some kind of curse?
I think somebody was doing something, and somehow the spirits, let's call them the spirits, let them pocket dial me. Let me hear what somebody was up to about something that I should have known about.
Do you have spirit helpers of some kind?
All the time.
So, like, if
people call them angels, some people call them demons, some people, you know, everybody's got different names for them.
So if something is going on, like if somebody is, maybe if somebody's after you, they might give you some sort of warning?
Exactly.
What's that?
Exactly, to help protect me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I totally believe that, Al. I think that, I think everybody has some sort of spirit guide or guardian angel. I think that most people have, you know how earlier I was talking about hypnosis? I think that a person's spirit guides get caught up in all of that, and we can't even see our spirit guides or perceive them because of this hypnosis.
Well, most people don't listen to them either.
Well, yeah.
I was driving my truck. As I was in a hurry to get right going, and people cut me off and make me slow down and get all pissed off. And when I started relaxing, I started running into people that show me where I need to be. Right away without me having to, you know, make phone calls and stuff like that.
So you're saying that instead of being in a rush to do things, maybe if we just sat down and relaxed, we might get pointed in a direction that's actually... Oh, okay. Okay. I like that. I like it.
You know, people are always in a rush to get... Like, when I lived in California, I was in a rush to get everywhere. Rush to want to do all kinds of, experience all kinds of stuff, you know, all at once. Or, you know, just bam, 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 one instant gratification after another.
Uh-huh.
You know, people are, no, that's how people are today.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're doing 10 things at once.
All right, well, when I was in California, I figured out that why we were like that out there was because we thought the end of the world was coming. We wanted to cram as much in as we could into our life before the end of the world came.
Yeah, yeah, I still think that. I think the end of the world's coming.
Right, people are always being fed, hey, it's the end of the world, end of the world. Get ready, end of the world's coming. You know, we've been hearing that for freaking what, over 100 years now?
Yeah, yeah, at least. I mean, the end of days has been floating around the collective unconscious since the start of days. It's always kind of been there. When is the end? When will the end happen?
No, that's the end of every century. Everybody keeps, there's all kinds of doomsayers saying, hey, it's the end of the world. It's the end of the world coming. We're all doomed like that movie Poltergeist. You know, remember the premise about that, right? The original one? They built the home division on a cemetery where a bunch of people were buried that 100 years before that, the preacher was all telling them that it was the end of the world and they had to go to this one place and be saved and then end up, the end of the world never came.
I think that might have been Poltergeist 2.
Well, the preacher told them it was the end of the world, so they all killed themselves, thinking it was the end of the world, and they were going to get resurrected when Jesus came. And it turned out to be the goal of life.
Yeah, that's one of the sequels. That's definitely one of the sequels.
And then they built the house on top of the where they were all buried, and they were all pissed off that they never lied to, right? That's why they were all pissed off ghosts.
No, wait a second. Maybe that was the first Poltergeist. Now I'm confused again, because that did happen.
I'm talking about the original Poltergeist movie.
Okay.
One came out in like 78, somewhere around there.
The one where that lady, the psychic, she goes, y'all hang back now, you're jamming my frequency.
Yeah, that Drew Barrymore was a little girl.
And they go, they're here. That's Poltergeist,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, and the girl gets sucked in the TV.
At the end of every century, there's always a bunch of people, preachers and stuff saying, it's the end of the world. God's going to come judge us all. You know, just tell us that at the end of every century.
Yeah.
We're just going to keep going the way we've been.
I hate the scenes in that movie. I hate when that skeleton bat dragon thing comes through the portal. I hate that tree that sucks people up. I hate the clown. I hate that part where the coffins are opening up. That movie is so scary. It's got to be one of the top 5 scariest movies of all time. Oh, Al, you okay? Oh, damn.
You want to know why I don't like clowns?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I do. I want to know.
You know what? They taste funny.
Ah.
You smell funny too, dude.
Nah, I just don't like that creepy makeup. I don't like something that is hiding behind makeup. I don't like those big fluffy outfits. I don't like those bald noses. I don't like those evil smiles. Clowns just in general have, they're just creepy people. I mean, no offense to anybody out there that dresses like a clown, but for the most part, my life, if it's clown-free, I'm happy.
Yeah, one of my favorite movies is Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah, that's a classic.
I was shown to Santa Cruz down there where I used to live.
Have you seen the movie It?
It? Yeah. No, I'm not impressed by it. What's the temperature like up there?
Cold as shit?
It was -5 here yesterday morning.
Oh my god, that's even worse.
It was -25 up in Logan.
Oh my god. You're going to freeze to death. How do you guys not freeze to death there?
Well, when I'm outside working in the cemetery there, I just wear insulated coveralls and rubber boots.
No, wait a second. Boots. Al, you work in a cemetery?
I'm just currently, my current assignment is in the cemetery.
That's gothic as hell, man. That's dark. I like it.
Well, they're it's only half the property's open. They want to open up the other half of the property, so we're building a privacy wall around the cemetery so that they can open up the back part of it, and then people having their funerals can have some privacy, and the people having to live along it can have some privacy.
Do you work at nighttime or during the day?
It's a daytime gig.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought cemetery workers all work at night.
I don't work for the cemetery. I work for a construction company that's building the wall.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
The cemetery is owned by the city. And I don't work for the city. I work for the company building the wall.
I worked at a cemetery for just a very short period, probably like a month, and it was just terrible. I thought, because I was doing sales for the cemetery, and I thought that these people would be like really nice because they're dealing with death and stuff like that, but they were just some of the most greasy, evil people that I've ever met in my life, and these were people that work in a friggin' funeral home. I could not believe it.
Oh, yeah, that's a freaking cutthroat business, dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I hate it. No, I don't hate it, but it is what it is.
Sometimes when Todd calls me, I answer the phone. Rick's mortuary, you stab him, we slab him.
So, Al, are you going to be watching the Super Bowl this year?
I don't pay attention to sports.
Oh, you don't even watch the Super Bowl?
I don't know. Did you hear that song that Todd sent you the other day?
Not yet. I got caught up in some drama.
Well, I sent you a newer copy that I remixed it and added had to fix the ending. Now it sounds pretty bitchy.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just listen to the new one then, because I'm sure you'd rather me just listen to this one, right?
Yeah, Todd was all, oh, I don't want to hear the old one, and here's the new one, too. All. The old one sounds like I'm a band, and sounds like I just ended all kind of messed up. Like, we all just decided to end the song right there.
Uh-huh.
And I cut that off and added an actual ending, and then brought up some of the guitars that were too low, and one that was too high, brought it down, and brought the drums up a little bit so it sounds a lot better.
Do you play, guitar, and then you play bass guitar too, right?
Yeah, usually I'll start off with a rhythm guitar.
Uh-huh.
Start off a rhythm and then elaborate on that.
Okay, but do you play both regular guitar and bass guitar?
I play everything. Guitar, bass, drums, keyboards, vocals, all of it.
Oh, damn. You're a one-man band.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to get into something like that. I mean, I'm sure you've kind of heard of what I'm doing with my band. It's still just me so far, but I'm incorporating different elements. And the next thing I want to do is I want to get into making some electronic music and combine that with my instrumentation and really, really make some cool stuff.
Do you have a recording program yet?
Yeah, I have a program that I used to record.
What are you using?
Oh, I can't share that. It's confidential. I'll have to tell you privately.
All right. Well, I got your phone number. I'll text you.
Okay, great.
Do it that way. I'm using Mixcraft 5 myself.
What's that?
I'm using Mixcraft 5.
Okay, Mixcraft. Interesting. I'll have to look into that.
Well, when I first moved back in here, when I quit driving truck and moved back in my mom's house, and I took, my brother gave me a mastering program, so Steinberg WaveLab 6. I put that on my computer, but in order to use that, I had to loop it out to a mixer back into it.
Uh-huh.
So every instrument I had to have already EQ'd and everything before I threw it back into the computer again.
Oh, gotcha. Hey, what do you think of this?
I couldn't separate them.
What do you think of this idea that there might be aliens walking around that we cannot see?
Walking around where?
Just walking around right in front of us. Like, let's say you walk down the street. There's an alien.
Cloaked
aliens just walking around you at any random time.
Well, one time I went up in the mountains up here, just up on the canyon, and started looking up at the sky and with my binoculars. Some of them points of lights was zigging and zagging, moving around. They're just sitting there.
Uh-huh.
They weren't just, or, you know, there was a satellite or something like that, just be making a straight line, right?
Yeah.
These were just zigging and zagging all over the place.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, they're around us.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think that a lot of us, part of the problem is we don't look at the sky enough. We have our eyes facing forward. How many of us even check out the stars from time to time?
Most of you millennials are staring at your phones walking down the street nowadays, ain't you?
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's looking at their phones. Nobody's looking up at the sky.
Well, it's like one day I was at work over there in west side of Salt Lake. And I was out in the yard, and my boss was telling me what he wanted me to do for the day. And I got a phone call, so I had to stand there and wait for him to do his phone. And while I was standing there, I was looking up at the sky, and I saw a silver cigar shape flying over. about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Nice.
Just after the sunrise. Just right after the sunrise, going in a northwest trajectory.
How many times do you suppose that you've seen UFOs?
I'm going to say, well, all right, here's the deal. I think I told you before, if they got lights on it, they're theirs. If they don't got lights on it, they're ours. Like one night when I was living in my shop, I walked outside. Drinking, it was my first beer, and my only beer that night, actually. And I walked outside, and I was sitting on a chair sitting in front of my shop drinking my beer, and I looked up, and I saw three flying saucers fly over in a half a V formation. But they were kind of jittery in their movement. The reason I saw them was because the city lights were lighting up the bottom of them. But they didn't have no lights on them. That's how I know they were ours.
So you're saying that if they do not have lights, that means they're ours?
Yeah, if you see something flying around and ain't got no lights on it, in the dark like that, it's one of ours. They don't want us to see it. But if it's aliens, they don't care. So they get one with lights on at the end.
Okay, that does make some sense. I just wonder about some of these triangle crafts that people see. I saw one myself. It had a lot of lights on it, but I've heard that these might be from humans. Do you think that this thing that I saw was probably alien?
Well, where'd you see that?
Up here in Washington, in the Seattle area.
Well, I believe there's probably a base in Mount Rainier.
A human base or an alien base?
Alien base.
Okay, I have heard similar things. In fact, there's a hospital. I think it's called Madigan Hospital, and people are saying that it's actually an entrance to a huge underground base, like a huge facility, some sort of reptilian military thing or something like that.
Yeah, they're all over the earth. They've been there a long time. Like Stapleton Airport, that's a
I mean, I kind of toyed with the idea. I kind of toyed with the idea of, you know, breaking into the military base and trying to break into the hospital. But then I realized that would probably get me shot and put into prison for the rest of my life.
Yeah, just to shut you up.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's anything under there, but I do agree with you. I think there are some alien bases up here and probably some weird military stuff. The Navy is big up here.
Well, I Googled alien bases, and it showed me that there's a huge website I found from there's a huge alien base in the Salt Lake here.
Oh, really?
Tell me where the entrances are, too.
You know where the entrances are?
I tend to believe in it.
You know what?
I've delivered computers to some buildings out here on the west side of the valley here, that some mainframes.
Uh-huh.
Unload them off the truck. And everybody that I talk to doesn't know what everybody else even does.
Well, you know what we should do? Like, me, you, and Todd, we should all get a bunch of, like, body armor and stuff and some binoculars and night vision goggles, and we should try to go scope out all these entrances to these alien bases.
Yeah, well, the aliens ain't going to be very happy about that either.
Yeah, I totally could see that happening, but maybe we'll get a picture. Maybe we'll get some kind of proof.
Well, what I was reading was saying that, like the humans, when you're on you get on the elevator and you're going to a different level.
Uh-huh.
And if an alien comes on there, you freaking ignore them. You don't, I'm trying to say,
you don't say shit because your best bet is to blend in and do your job and not pay attention to the weird stuff that is going to get you killed if you talk
exactly.
About it.
No, it's just if you pay attention to them, that pisses them off, and then they get all fucking upset and shit on your ass.
Oh, okay, I see. So they just don't like you focusing in on them. It bothers them.
Right, because you're beneath them, because you're a human. You know what I mean?
I've heard that reptilian aliens think that way. They believe themselves to be superior to humans.
Exactly. So if a human's on the elevator with them and you acknowledge them, then freaking that's a sign of disrespect, and freaking that piss them off, and then they want to tear you apart.
Yeah. I've heard they'll even, like, try to wrestle you sometimes. Like, you'll be standing there and a reptilian will jump on you and kind of wrestle with you to assert its dominance.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's how they think.
I used to have an elevator too. Kind of pissed me off and don't have it no more.
What do you mean?
Well, like one time I got up 8 o'clock in the morning, walked into my bathroom, took a piss, walked out and looked at the clock and it said 10 o'clock. And when I told you I had a Rose, my last girlfriend was a Rosicrucian High Priestess.
Yes, I remember.
I mentioned that to her, and she said, "Oh, that's the elevator." I know. Oh, okay. Now I get it.
I'm not sure I understand.
It was like a spiritual elevator.
It wasn't like
I could walk in there, and then, like I said, the last 2 hours, just walking in there taking a leap.
It was a portal?
I walked down my ladder, looked at the clock, said 8 o'clock, took a leak, went to walk back up my ladder, go back to bed, and it said 10 o'clock. And I was like, what the hell? 2 hours, take a leak. What the hell?
Yeah, that's a long leak. Damn. Yeah, I've heard things like this. I've heard that there are portals in people's houses that go straight into alien bases.
Yeah, I used to have one.
Could you go in and out of it at will?
No.
They had control of it.
I didn't really pay much attention to it. A lot of weird shit happened to me, and I just went with the flow. You know, most people would freak them out, and trip out, and, you know, just have trouble dealing with it. And I had trouble too at first. Then I just decided, I just go with the flow. And when I started going with the flow, things started going a lot easier for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if you, that's kind of how it's been for me. I mean, when I first started having paranormal experiences, they scared the crap out of me. I mean, I was devastated. I was having a lot of anxiety. I was feeling like I was going insane. But when I finally just started to accept it and not think of it as such a big deal and just acknowledge to myself that we live in a universe where there are infinite scientific possibilities. Once I came to that conclusion, it just, you know, it's not a big deal. It's not supernatural. It's natural.
Yeah, well, I just decided it didn't hurt me, so why fear it?
Yeah, yeah. And
I also discovered fear was the problem.
What do you mean?
Just like if you meet a real alien, most people are going to panic and fear. You know, they're going to freeze up. And that's how they work, you know. Like if you get abducted by aliens, you get taken up or whatever, and you're all so scared and fearful of what's going on that you're all, you know, you're frozen. You don't know what to do.
And then it takes its head off with its reptilian claw. It takes your head off, sorry.
No, I'm just talking about like the greys and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean, though. I know what you mean. I think that part of the problem is that some of these beings are actually some kind of parasites, and they actually feed off the fear energy you're producing, or maybe they just see it as a weakness.
No, those beings live in subspace. There is a race of beings that they feed off our fear and shit like that, yeah. That's not the reptilians.
Oh, really? Who is this race, then?
No, that's just, they're not corporeal, if you're the ones that feed on our fears.
So they don't have any form. They're just spiritual, disembodied beings.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they demons?
I don't know. Some people might call them that.
Then they are. They're demons.
No, to me, they're just an entity that freaking lives in subspace and freaking feeds off fear and hate.
Okay.
Negative energy.
Okay, that's fair enough.
No, you have to look at everything as it's all part of a natural state, you know, like we were just talking about.
Now, Al, did you see the video of the four people that were beating up on this guy with a learning disability?
Yeah.
What did you think when you saw that? How do you feel about that?
Pissed me off.
Just pissed you off?
Pissed me off severely.
What do you think about this whole Trump thing? Is he going to get assassinated?
I don't know. I've been getting scuttlebutt about that, but, you know, it's all relative. Things can always change. Some dumbass has got access to a time machine, like we were talking about before, and they're trying to go in the past and change the time to try and make sure they stay on top of shit. Like, as far as my record shows, Desert Storm was supposed to have been completed in 91. We should have gone into Iraq in 2002.
Yeah, definitely. Are there any other?
That's supposed to have been cleaned up in 91.
Are there any other examples of things that you know that have been changed that were one way but got changed?
Well, just the other day, something changed on me. It was snowing, and I walked into the cemetery, and the whole grounds was covered with snow, all right?
Uh-huh.
I walked in the back, grabbed a couple tools, and walked over, and then the city crew showed up to start digging the grave. We had a funeral that day. And when I walked back to where I was going to do my work with my tools, where they were going to dig out was already all snow plowed out the day before, and it wasn't like that when I walked past it when I first walked in when it was snowing.
So did you have less work to do?
I don't even remember what I did that day. I know as I walked into the cemetery, the whole cemetery was covered with snow. I walked into the back where my tools were at, grabbed them, and parked out front because I didn't want to drive my car in there because of too much snow. I didn't want to get stuck, so I walked in, walked right past where this grave is going to be, and I grabbed my tools, and then the city crew came in to dig the grave, and then when I walked out to the front where I'm going to be doing my work, it was already snow plowed, and all the snow was gone where they were going to have to dig the hole.
Yeah, that's weird.
But it wasn't like that when I walked in. It was still covered with snow. They told me that they had done it the day before. That was a timeline change.
You know, I think we're onto something here because I think this sort of thing is going on right before our eyes and we're just not noticing it. It's probably happening all the time.
It's happening a lot more because time's getting more fractured because of all the timeline changes certain people are making with their time machine.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that there's the Berenstain Bears, the Mandela effect, all kinds of things. Like, I remember, I thought Kirk Douglas died, and it turns out he's still alive. I swear that I thought he died.
All right, there's a good example right there. There's a guy here, he's a football coach for BYU, LaVell Edwards.
Uh-huh.
I've seen his funeral 3 times already.
Jeez, he keeps dying.
Yeah, no, these are timeline changes.
Give the guy a break. Somebody change the timeline so he doesn't die. I mean, this guy keeps dying.
Mm-hmm.
No,
he's real famous around here. He was a head coach for BYU.
He even named
the stadium after him.
I totally believe it, Al, but we're gonna go ahead and thanks for calling, but we're going to keep it moving here. So please call in again.
All right, Danner. Peace, love, and happiness. Good with you.
Peace, love, and happiness. Bye. Oh, there you have it. That was Al. And that's really interesting. The idea that there are timeline changes happening at all times. The idea that things are being moved around right underneath our noses and we cannot perceive it. We are not aware of it. We do not know exactly how it's happening or how we can stop it or when it's happening. I totally buy into it. I think that this is happening all the time, and I think that an individual can prove that it's real by going out and buying certain books on magic about reality creation. There are certain books out there that tell you how that you can do it. These are probably only small changes, like the buttons might be reversed on your stove or something like that. But it's very possible. The power of the mind is limitless. I don't pretend that I understand how all of this works. I only say that I'm acknowledging and aware that it is real. A lot of people will never accept that something like that, this is even possible. But I not only think it's possible, I think it's going on and there are many different parties that are in conflict with each other that are manipulating the timeline. And just like Al said, things are probably getting fractured. I can only hope that there is some kind of interdimensional time traveling police force that is keeping an eye on all of these things. But who knows? The possibilities truly are endless. I did want to move on a little bit, though. I got a few other things to talk about. I totally forgot where I left off before Al called in. I think I was talking about this idea that there might be cloaked beings out there, and we should be able to see them, but there's some sort of spell on all of us so that we might see one, but we'll either totally disregard it or completely ignore it. We'll just ignore it, basically. I feel that this is real. In fact, I would invite everybody to check out a series of books by this guy named Matthew Deluse. And he writes books. One is called Breaking the Serpent's Spell. And he alleges that there is a race of beings. I'm sure Al would disagree with this, but he alleges there's a race of beings that actually, these reptilian beings, they are the big brother race to us, and they have been actually brainwashing us and hypnotizing us since ancient times, since the days of the Anunnaki. They've been in control of things, they've been behind the scenes, and they are keeping our entire race in some kind of slumber so they can feed off of us or take advantage of us or use us or just control us in some way. Obviously, the famous author that we talk about all the time, author and researcher David Icke, believes the same thing. Now, a lot of people are really into Icke. I've talked about him a lot on this program. We even had his son on before. I don't know what he is, but I tend to feel like he's more legitimate. Something in my gut tells me he's more legitimate. I don't know what it is. I don't feel like he's one of these disinfo agents or anything like that. I just feel like he has a certain genuineness to him that makes me feel like he's real. I might be totally wrong, but I see this guy going out and doing research all the time. He's putting up with an incredible amount of humiliation to do what he does. He's making money, but there's no way he's making tons and tons of money from this. I mean, how many people are really into this stuff? He's not making a killing. It's certainly not worth all the embarrassment and humiliation that you would have to go through being somebody that believes in shape-shifting reptilians or, you know, believes in this huge conspiracy. It's embarrassing. I mean, I get it all the time. I'm always trying to talk to people about this stuff, always trying to convince them. But oftentimes, it's just like, you know what? This is embarrassing. Why don't I just go watch Game of Thrones or something? You know what I mean? But I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep trying to convince people, and I'm going to keep doing what I can to wake people up. But I'm mostly going to do it from behind the mic because I can talk to many people at once instead of freaking out all of my coworkers. Instead of freaking out my coworkers, they start giving me those looks. Oh, there's the weirdo. There's Daniel. He believes in some strange things. Oh, okay, but you believe in a Christianity or whatever. Okay. You believe that in Adam and Eve and all that stuff. Okay. I'm not saying that there was no God or Jesus. I especially believe in God and Jesus, especially after that last program that we had. I think that there was a Jesus. I mean, I'm convinced now. After talking to Ralph Ellis, I'm sure of it. He's tied things together, and he's proven it to me. So I believe that there was a Jesus. And I also believe that there is a real God out there that is the true God and everything kind of comes from. But I don't necessarily believe in this God of this religion or that religion or anything like that. I think that's a pretty fair and even and a healthy way of looking at things. And if you just want to believe in nothing and be an atheist or something like that, I understand that. I mean, you want to believe in things that you can prove, okay, that's fine with me. But I would really like to see some of these shapeshifters or aliens that are around us. I really want to take down the veil. I want to be able to personally see these things. And I'm trying to do whatever I can to take these blinders off of myself. I'm trying to do whatever I can to dehypnotize myself. And I haven't actually seen any reptilians or mantis beings or anything like that walking around out there. I'm still working on it. I've obviously seen some paranormal stuff, but I haven't noticed any changes from the experiments that I've been doing lately. So I'll keep you guys updated on that. If I see anything, or if I'm able to dehypnotize myself or see what's really there, then I'm going to immediately report it to you guys. I do know that there are certain places that you can go if you really want to see a UFO or an alien or something like that. You can go to certain areas. I think one's called CSETI here in Washington. And also at that Contact in the Desert event that Michael went to, they had a big group sighting of UFOs. I think Michael missed it because he might have been busy doing something else. But supposedly there was a UFO event that happened there, and a bunch of people made contact in the desert. It just so happens that somebody may have been making a different kind of contact down there. But I shouldn't talk about this, right? People are going to get mad. Oh, no, he's doing it again. He's so bad. He shouldn't say those things. No. I'm going to say whatever I want to say. I'm tired of being afraid to say what I want to say. I'm tired of it. This is the here and now. This is the time. Why should any of us be afraid? To live in chains is not living. Anyways, let's move on. Let's see here. Okay, this is good. Speaking of hiding things, I want to talk a little bit about NASA and space exploration. Generally, I believe that space exploration is a good thing. I do understand that it costs a lot of money. We're talking billions upon billions and billions of dollars to pay all of these great minds and to produce the materials needed and to do everything that it takes to send rockets into space, to build space stations, to visit the moon, to visit Mars, etc., etc. And a lot of people think that this is bad because it costs so much money and it doesn't do much. Some people will point to all the discoveries that were made by the space war, the things that were discovered when we were having the space race with Russia and continue to this day. We come up with a lot of new technologies. We discover a lot of cool stuff, a lot of new inventions. And that comes from the space race or space exploration. And I agree, that's probably one of the main reasons why we should keep doing it. But the main thing is, how could anybody not want society, their government, their race to explore the stars, to reach out and see what is out there? To take away the funding from that and to take away the money and to put a stop to that, the idea is just depressing. How could we stop human advancement? How can we stop human achievement? I think that there should be a law that says nobody can ever take NASA's money away. If you're a conspiracy theorist and you think that NASA is evil and NASA is hiding things, well, you're probably right. I agree with you. But I still don't want them to get their money taken away because I like the pictures that come from the Mars rover. I love that stuff. I've been pouring through, I've talked about this on the past few shows, but I've been pouring through a lot of these pictures coming from Mars, and there is very obvious to me, there was something going on there. There was life, there were buildings, there's technology, there are things moving around, worms, snake things, crab things, skulls. It can't all be weird-shaped rocks. There's just too much of it. And a lot of it is kind of detailed looking, or it doesn't look like rocks. It doesn't, you know, first of all, what I should say is that something can be something in a rock at the same time. It's a fossil, right? So when a living thing becomes a rock, it turns into a fossil, or if it turns into a fossil, it becomes a rock. So it starts to look like a rock. I mean, it's going to be the same color, the same texture as the things around it. So while we might be thinking that we're seeing rocks and NASA's telling us that it's rocks, it's actually something. So, but the thing is that even NASA, even these guys are starting to really come around. They're saying, you know, we have no definitive proof of life yet, but more and more the facts are mounting, or the pictures are mounting, and we have kind of a general idea that there probably was some sort of life here at some point, Mars-supported life. I think most scientists will agree on that at this point. I don't see anybody saying, hey, shut up, that's not true. It seems to me that most people out there, they believe that there's life out there in the stars. There's this belief that is starting to become popular that we actually came from Mars. That's something that the Mad Martian has come on our show several times to say. Like, we've all heard that before. And then he has this big revelation at the end of all of his yelling and screaming. He says, oh, we're the Martians. We're the Martians. Yeah, Gary, we heard that on Coast 3 years ago. You know what I'm talking about? Which is funny because just recently I actually challenged Gary to debate me. I was going to go on another show and talk to him, but it never materialized. So still have not been able to debate Gary the Mad Martian. I really want to know why he is saying bad things about me, because I let him come on my show and say his piece. I worked hard on the shows that he was on. I put together stuff to market him coming on the show and to put his opinion out there. And then he just turns around and he says nasty things about me and kisses up to my former co-host. So I want to confront him about this. I want to say, hey, Gary, you know, that's not cool that you're going around talking trash about me. I'm tired of you. For one thing, don't call me a pussy, because you've never met me. You don't know me. I'm not a pussy. I'm not a tough guy, but I'm not a pussy either. So don't call me a pussy. You need to talk to me directly. If you have something to say, let's talk it out. Because I have sat here and let you just steamroll me and other people and say all kinds of things and let you take up my time and let you take up this show's time. And you are showing me no gratitude or appreciation that I was helping you in your thing against Hoagland. I've always taken your side. I've always had your back. Yet you seem to have some kind of problem with me. And I'm really sick of it. So why don't you come on here? Why don't you call in? Send me an email. I don't care. But let's iron this out. What exactly your problem is with me and how I'm doing a bad thing by trying to get this information out there and trying to help people like yourself get your info out there, you know, for free. I'm helping you for free and you're backstabbing me and shitting on me and just being a jerk. Really? What's your problem? Because I don't like the way that you yell and scream over people, that maybe I'll tell you to shut up every now and then if you're yelling and screaming and acting like a maniac. I'm sorry, Gary, but if you think that you can yell and scream at grown men and they're not going to tell you to shut up, then you're living in a fantasy land. Because if you can have a conversation with somebody and take turns, that's how you're going to get your point across. If you have a normal conversation and take turns, you're not going to get your point across by yelling and screaming at people. And it's just the fact. I mean, I want to help you get your message out there, but if you're going to yell and scream and be rude and bully, if it's about control and bullying, then that's not okay with me. I'm about knowledge. I'm about spreading information. I'm not about bullying or talking over people or shutting people down or taking control of people's shows. That's nonsense. That's like prank calling people and, you know, just causing trouble and doing stuff like that. You don't need to do that. I even offered this guy to, I offered to you know, help him start up a show, and, you know, that offer still stands. If he needs my help, if he needs my technical know-how, if he needs my knowledge to get his message out there, I'm still willing to help him, even though he said horrible things about me. You know, just to prove a point, I will still help him. But I do want to confront him about these things that he's been saying. He's been saying that my show is not the real show. And no, nobody, you're not going to get away with saying that. You should confront me about this. If you want to say that I'm not the real thing, then please come on here and tell me how the little punk that doesn't even have any interest in the paranormal, doesn't believe in conspiracies, doesn't believe in aliens. I want you to explain to me how he's more the real thing than me. I'm putting everything on the line. I'm taking off all the filters. I'm taking off all the chains. I'm not afraid. What happens is going to happen. And I'm perfectly fine with that, because I'm here to raise hell. I'm here to raise hell. I'm here to make a mess. I'm here to create chaos. I'm here to create chaos. That's what I'm here to do. And if you think that I'm going to keep things orderly and neat, you're wrong, because that's not me anymore. I'm unleashed. Wait, why are we talking about the Mad Martian? What's going on here? Sometimes I just go off. But, you know, and another thing is, once again, I know I've gotten kind of stood up here and there, and it's been kind of screwing things up, but whatever. I don't care. If you want to come on the show, I'm still going to have that open invitation out there. Anybody with something to say. Even if it's not something about the paranormal, even if it's like you just want to rant and rave about some celebrity that you hate, if you want to do that on here, I'll give you a chance. I'm still going to keep this the people's show. This is the people's show. This isn't some pretentious bullshit. This is a show for real truth seekers. This is a show for the people. This is a show for the people that don't have the funding, that don't have some way to get their information out there. This is for the people that are tired of hearing the same sort of paranormal show with the same people talking about the same things. This is the real thing. And my job is to have more balls than anybody else doing what I'm doing. And I hope that I'll get there. I'm not saying that I have more balls than George Norrie, but I'll get there. I'm just kidding. Of course I have more balls than George Norrie. Anyways, let's see here. Pretty much gone through everything. Oh, here's one. Is what I'm doing dangerous? Is what I'm doing dangerous? Yes and no. So, of course, when you are turning up rocks, when you are sticking your nose where it doesn't belong, when you are talking about certain topics, the eye is going to turn towards you. Like the Mad Martian used to always say to us, the eye is on you. If you talk about certain things, the eye will shine down on you. So, yeah, there is danger doing what I'm doing. We know that there have been conspiracy guys like William Turner taken out. We know that there's been alien UFO people taken out like Carla Turner. We know that the great Martin Luther King was blackmailed by our very own FBI. We know what they do to people that go against the grain. We know what they do to dissenters. So is what I'm doing dangerous? For one thing, don't feel sorry for me, because I'm an asshole. Don't feel sorry for me. I made a choice. I am doing what I'm doing because I believe in it. And I know nobody else out there is really doing it. And it is scary at times. I'm not going to lie to you guys. It is scary at times. When I have family members telling me that there is a shadow person outside my stupid little garage studio staring at me while I'm doing the show, yes, that is going to freak me out. And people are going to think I'm lying or whatever, but that's something that actually happened. So I know that there's something out there that I pissed off already. And that's on the metaphysical plane. That's on the, you know, otherworldly interdimensional plane. I don't even know how many humans I've pissed off, but I'm guessing that there's a list and it's mounting. There's more and more names being added to this list of people that are angry at me. And some of them are nobody. Some of them are just people that I've offended doing this show. People that I told to get off the line, or I told that they're stupid or boring or whatever, just because I can be like that sometimes. There's people out there that I just offended, and there's probably much more dangerous people out there that I offended that actually have some power in this world, that could actually do something to me. And I don't think that I'm in any danger. For one thing, I just started doing this. I went 4 years doing this show where I was splitting things 50-50, or at least that's how it was supposed to be. But now I've been unleashed. I've been unhinged. And I have a choice whether to make this show about entertainment and comedy and try to get tons and tons of listeners, or I can do something completely different. And I could turn this into a real truth seeker show where we are the spearhead going into the night. And that's what I want to do, and that's what I am going to do. I am going to be that guy, whether I like it or not. And I don't care who I piss off. I don't care what I piss off. I don't care if there's a whole army of shadow beings coming at me, because I've never even been shown that they can hurt me. I haven't been slapped or pinched or scratched by a shadow person. So from what I can tell, they're just watching, and I haven't even seen one yet. I have not even physically seen one yet. So I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to say that I've seen something that I haven't. I've seen them in half sleep. I've seen them in dreams, but I have not physically seen one. I just heard that there was one watching me while I was doing the show, which is freaky. And these things have been in my family for a while. I don't know why, but part of the reason I'm doing this show is because of those experiences and because I know that there's something out there. Maybe these things are what Al was telling us about. Maybe they're the beings that feed off of fear. I'm trying to make any connections where I can. I don't really know. But I do know that I am doing something dangerous. I totally acknowledge it. I'm not going to stop. A part of the reason is because when you are into this type of stuff, you are a little bit more safe when you actually hide in plain sight. Because if they were to do something to you, then anybody that's been paying attention to what you're doing is immediately going to know that what you're talking about is true, or was true, or is true, right? So there's a certain element of safety by being hidden in plain sight. The other thing is, I don't feel that I have any smoking guns. I don't have the alien artifact. I do not have the alien DNA. I don't have a document that said Hillary and Huma Abedin were getting it on 69 style in the back of Bill's limo. I don't have that proof. I would like to see that, not because I'd get off on it, but because it would make me laugh. That Huma Abedin, she's not that bad, is she? I mean, she kind of has nice bone structure. She looks a little bitchy, but whatever. I'm just kind of wondering why she was with that Anthony Weiner guy, because he does not look like an alpha male. He looks like a skinny, weird-looking, perverted, gangly, and his name's Weiner, and he's showing his Weiner. I know people have been laughing about this for years and years now, but what are the chances that somebody named Anthony Weiner would be the type to show their Weiner to people? That is just so hilarious to me, and to think that this guy that has all this political power is so perverted and has such a lack of self-control that he keeps getting himself in these situations just cracks me up. But at the same time, it shows what big of perverts that these people are, the Clintons, the Wieners, the whoever. All of these elite people, they're extremely perverted because something is feeding into this really sick, perverted, this really sick, sadistic tendency that they have. It's like a reptilian-brained, very primitive, aggressive, sort of sadistic thing that something is feeding. It might be something that's happening because of ritual magic. It might be possession. It might just be who they are. I don't know. But these people that go after the power, they seem to have these strong sexual appetites, and apparently they go after children. They're that sick, so they go after kids. You know, the Pizzagate, all of this stuff. I really think that something, if it's demonic, if it's alien, I don't know, if it's the human shadow, I don't know, but you know what? I actually wanted to say one other thing. There was a fan of our show. Her name was Andrea, and something happened where me and her had a falling out, and she tried to actually warn me about something that was going on that I did not know about. I'm sure many of you can guess what I was talking about, but the person she tried to warn me with was very nasty towards her, and at the time, I did not have open ears. Like, I am guilty of sometimes having closed ears to things that I don't want to hear or I don't want to believe because, hey, I'm not perfect either. So Andrea was trying to warn me about something, and I just did not heed her warning, and I paid for it. So I wanted to give a shout out to Andrea and just say, if somehow the show was ruined for you in any way because of this, I'm so sorry. And I wish so much that I would have listened to your advice and taken action on it as soon as you told me. And I feel strongly enough about this that I'm going to come on here on air and I'm going to talk about it. So I just want to throw that out there. I'm genuinely sorry. If you don't believe me, I already sent you an email and never got a response, but here's me openly saying it over there. This is the last time I'll talk about it, but I'm genuinely sorry. I should have listened, because look what ended up happening. So I don't care, you know. I don't have that type of shame or humiliation. If I'm wrong about something, I will come out and I will say it, because I believe in doing what's right, and if I'm wrong, I will admit it. If somebody wants to call in and tell me I'm wrong about something, I'll listen to them. I don't think that I'm perfect. But I just want to shout out to Andrea, our old fan from years ago, who really tried very hard to warn me about something, and I just did not listen. But anyways. Okay, we've been on air for about 2 hours. I want to do a longer show, but unfortunately, our guests did not show up. But it's fine, because I love doing this. I'll be real with you. I like doing this. I love getting on the air. I love talking. I'm not one of these people that is in love with the sound of his own voice. I don't like to hear myself talk, but I absolutely love being able to express myself here on air. I love talking to you folks. I love talking about these topics. I love giving my thoughts and opinions about them. I love talking about the mission, what we're doing here. And I'm just going to keep pushing it. I'm going to keep getting better and better, and I'm going to keep pushing it. Once again, Alex Jones, my challenge still stands. Please accept it. Gary the Mad Martian, my challenge still stands. Please accept it. Especially you, Alex Jones, because I know what you're thinking. You think I'm trying to get big, or I'm trying to use you to create some sort of fame or something like that. No, no, no. I'm just sick of your shit. I'm sick of your shit. I'm sick of all the people out there making these accusations, and you're not even defending yourself. You're just going on your stupid YouTube channel and you're ranting and raving. And but I can see it in your eyes. I can see how fake you are in your eyes. You have that dead look in your eyes, like you don't give a shit about anything that you're saying. Like you're laughing at us all. Like you're laughing at the topics. I see it in your eyes. No, I am not the asshole. You are the asshole, because you are fake. You are a liar. It doesn't matter how I talk. It matters what you're doing and what I'm doing. And I'm doing something real. You're doing something fake. And I'm calling you out on it. I'm calling you out on your goofy, over-the-top salesman bullshit, your cartoonish caricature of a real truth seeker. That's all you are. You are a cartoonish caricature of a real truth seeker, and you are a clown, and you're putting on a show for the masses. It's a big show. You're a puppet. And I'm completely calling you out on this, because the truth is that fake people like you, while you may educate a few people here and there, ultimately you are a cancer, and you are ruining the work of the real thing, like William Cooper, who called you out on your bullshit, who ended up dead, who called you out, who you played your games with, who you tried to distract and confuse. I'm doing this for friggin' William Cooper. Hell, shout out to William Cooper. Shout out to the man who wrote Behold a Pale Horse. That's an awesome book, and he's an awesome guy, so I'm doing this for him. I'm dedicating this show to him, William Cooper. This show is dedicated to him, and also fuck Alex Jones. Thank you so much, everybody, for showing up. I would like to go longer, but I really want to know how the Seahawks are going, or how they're doing. I want to know if they won. I heard some fireworks earlier. Hopefully that's a good sign. I don't know if you guys heard that in the background or if you care, but I got to go check that out, so thank you so much, everybody. I will be back here Monday night at 10 p.m. I know that sounds totally weird, but this Monday at 10 p.m., we are talking to Robert Stanley himself. So please join me for this ongoing parade of decadence, this ongoing parade of hostility and nastiness. No, I'm just kidding. Just come back. Come back. Listen again. Or don't. Wait 5 episodes and check it out. I don't care. Do whatever you want to do. Do what you're going to do. I would never interfere with your free will. Oh, good night, everybody. The black ship continues to sail into the night. Oh, ha, 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 ha. Thank you.
winter's coming.
The King has returned from the broken ruins of Babylon. This is the end of days.